troubles and roll on down the road.
Yes, indeed. Lots of fantastic live music here in Sydney at the moment, including from our next guest here on Friday Drive, Melanie Oxley and Chris Abrahams. What a privilege, honour and delight to have you in the studio. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
So, first of the month, Camelot Lounge, you two plus Jonathan Zwartz.
Yep.
Who else? Anyone?
Trio.
Yeah,
wow. Yep, trio. We'll be doing two sets and, playing Moment of Truth, which is the latest release, but our, various bits and pieces from the back catalogue, which stretches a long way.
Yeah, I was having a bit of a giggle at your expense. I don't think you appreciated it much, but
No,
the promo
totally fine.
Online on the Eastside FM online promo for the gig has this lovely photo of you from... Well, back in the day, let's put it that way.
I look like that now? I'm sure I look like
of
that.
Of course, even better. And you too, Chris.
Thank you.
Of course. So tell us about this latest album, first of all. And then I want to go back a few years to a thing called Lockdown, and we were playing some of your music then. I'm foreshadowing that, but let's talk about this most recent album. Where's it come from? Why do you persist with this thing called music?
Well, it's a good question. Chris and I have been playing music together for a long time. I think it is a vehicle for your song writing and mine. It's the latest album actually was taking shape in 2019. I had a year off. I took a year out of school and we sort of practiced all year and started playing again, and the songs were forming then. Then in 2020, when it all went a bit, haywire, we started recording it. So we sort of recorded at the end of 2019, I think it was, and moving into 2020. So it took a while to record because of the circumstances. And then to mix it as well, it took another little while. So I reckon it wasn't ready until when? So the end of 21. Was it, or 22?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yeah, so...
Sorry, I just need to clarify something.
Yeah.
Because during that whole COVID lockdown thing, we had some tracks that you had put together and we were playing them here. Are they the same ones? I can't remember, to be honest.
No.
If this was prior to 2022, no.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So that was stuff you were doing...
We'd already done, yeah. I think... Yeah, they were tracks. Yeah, we came in. There was a couple of tracks off, Jerusalem Bay, I think, and Blood Oranges. They were, playing that the last two releases.
And how was COVID for you guys? I mean, it was terrible, obviously, in terms of trying to earn a buck. But was it a creative time?
I possibly think I could have probably been a bit more creative. I mean, the first part of it, I tried to, weather the storm with this idea of, well, having a break is a good thing. I can recharge the batteries. But I think as it went on, that sort of initial positive spin sort of wore off, I think, by the second year. I do other things and a lot of, tours fell through, a lot of work, and it became, sort of a bit more depressing, I think. Look, in hindsight, it seemed to have gone by very quickly, but I keep thinking that's a chunk of several years where you kind of didn't move forward that much. I did a lot of reading, I did a lot of watching of films, but I don't recall it being a, once you can't really rehearse or anything with a lockdown or...
Yeah.
And I found the, internet concert type Zoom sort of thing, heroic at times, but it's not really the same as going to a performing in front of a live audience.
And to what extent do you think it's stymied your creativity or your creative journey or however you want to describe it?
Well,
in that case,
I think it'll take a few years to unravel that. you know, possibly it was a really good thing to have, you know, just suddenly have this hiatus that you can, you know, it may sort of instill a bit more objectivity in what you're doing and a bit of, I don't know, I'm still trying to figure it out, actually. I think a lot of people are.
Hmm. Yeah, I had a vastly different experience because I didn't stop working, and I had to be incredibly creative in moving education for primary school students online. And also what we did do is we set up, because we had a very healthy instrumental music program, so I moved all their work online to Google Classroom. So they were still having their, like, collective rehearsals.
When you say they, you mean your students?
Students. There was over this particular, just a school I was working at, so there's 120 or so kids, and they'd have like Zoom rehearsals, which weren't ideal, but then they'd have a Zoom, you know, group rehearsal. So I had to be extremely creative in my education world. As far as music goes, it was sort of interesting because I was in the house with my son, our son and daughter, youngest daughter was there and our eldest was out, but there was a lot of played a fair bit at home, but yeah, we couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. It was quite bizarre. It was quite a bizarre period of time. And I think there's a lot of kids that haven't really come out of it very well. But also it just stopped for people who are doing music full time,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And I think everybody wants to move on, and fair enough, but it just fascinates me, that whole time in history now, and how it affected different people and how it affected the arts community and that kind of thing. So I hope you don't mind me asking.
No, not at all.
No, I think, you know, like I often thought, well, you know, if there's an economic crisis, people still want music, you know. Like if there's a war, people will still want music. Yeah, hopefully that won't happen. But all these, I never actually thought there'd come a point where actually performing music, that would be one of the things that you couldn't do, that suddenly, and I think a lot of people started to kind of, you know, like this rock solid thing that you thought was going to be there isn't there anymore. I mean, you just realise that, yeah, how the transient nature of everything and the uncertainty, and maybe that's a good thing to embrace uncertainty.
With the kids, we could spread out all the strings and anything that was being hit, but they couldn't blow anything. So, so they either had to be behind a screen or away, or we just couldn't do it. So what we ended up by doing was hiring from the Performing Arts to the Arts Unit, DOE Arts Unit, all their sort of taiko drums, all their big drums, and we had the entire orchestra was playing drums, all spread out around the big hall. So, you know, there was different things we could do in that respect for kids. But, yeah, when it comes to, you know, if it's your livelihood, it stopped. And, you know, luckily now, but we also started playing then. We did a few gigs at Camelot where they were doing two shifts.
Right.
So you could go in and there was, you know, there was the early shift. It was like a 7 o'clock gig. People would go in.
Spread out.
Mm. And then they'd go down, they'd come in one way and go out the other way. And then there was the next shift, which was sort of the 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever it was. So that was interesting. So we started, and, you know, good on them for working out a way for it to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
And how has the local live music scene re-emerged since, you know, in the years since? Are we talking years now? I guess we are, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. You'd know more about that.
I think it's bounced back. I was sort of despairing for a little bit, but you probably, everyone wants things to normalise as quickly as possible, and it did take a while. I mean, I've just come back from Europe. I mean, it's not, you know, it's slightly different here, but yeah, it's amazing how, you know, it's almost as if it never happened.
No.
You know, in terms of places like Berlin, or you know, it doesn't. People have really bounced back to seeing things and going out. And I mean, I thought it was a little bit sluggish here, like, but I think it's come back. You know, in the last year or so, I think it's kind of back to where it sort of was. But a lot of places probably. You know, there's the structural, you know, stuff that's been done that maybe, you know, like there aren't the few places aren't there anymore. And
Yeah. Well, 505, that's a classic one, you know, that sort of thing. The place has shut down because it just couldn't sustain it. But
And what were you up to in Berlin, that kind of thing, Chris?
Well, I was touring with the group I play in, the Nex, a trio. And then at the end of that, we were we had a collaboration with a theatre group called Back to Back Theatre, who this year won the Golden Lion at the Venice Biennale. So I sort of stayed around. Yeah,
it's just a small, offside thing you're involved in, Chris. Like,
they've had a pretty good year. But, so I sort of stayed around, and we performed Food Court, is the name of the piece. In Venice, and then, this came back about a couple of weeks ago.
What's that about, Food Court? Or is it, as the label says?
It's a pretty full-on production. It's influenced by a number of things. It starts off as a kind of exploration of bullying and fat-shaming of people based around their diet. And then it sort of descends into an exploration of a particularly grisly murder, and then finishes with a Shakespearean monologue. It's quite an extraordinary journey. I think it's one of the most amazing things I've ever been involved in, and they're an incredible company.
We haven't seen that here, have we?
Yes.
Oh,
I mean, we've been doing we've been doing that for over 15 years.
Yeah. Oh,
and
right.
We've done it all over the world, like with them. They're probably Australia's most sort of travelled theatre group. I mean, they play, they've got a lot of other productions which we're not a part of, but, I urge anyone who wants to see some incredible theatre to go along and see the back-to-back theatre company. They're incredible.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll bury my ignorance and just ask you some more questions about this gig that's coming up, please.
That's all good.
Yeah.
This latest album. I mean, where has the creativity, the creative spark for this album come from? What's going on with it?
Well, I think we'd have to go way back. I mean, Mel and I were in a group called the Sparklers in the 1980s, and then in the early 90s we got together again and decided to sort of have this project, to write songs together. And As you said, this is our sixth studio album.
Sixth studio album. That's what you say.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, like an issue arrived of a differing phenomenon and we decided to write songs about it. I mean, I think we're all... I've always tried to write songs and so has Mel. And I think it was a question of getting together again and performing after a bit of a hiatus and working on songs. And suddenly we had a 12, 13 songs, and so the next thing was to record an album. I think it's quite intuitive. I don't think we, set out to do something any different necessarily to the way we've approached things before.
No, yeah, that's exactly right. And I think it's just something we've always, we sort of made that decision a long time ago, regardless of what other projects Chris is doing and whether I've, had my family and had a career in education, we would still, I always keep writing. I just keep writing things, and then we sort of, I'll say to Chris, I've got a couple of songs, and he'll go, yeah, okay, great. And then, it's just sort of an ongoing thing.
And you do the words and Chris does the music, or do mix it up?
No, it's mixed up.
Yeah, it's mixed up. So sometimes Chris has got something and I'll do the music, or I write a whole song, or Chris writes a whole song, or, it's pretty much, it is mixed up.
In the show that precedes this one, Take One, DJ Kana B played the title track, Moment of Truth. What's that about? Because we're not going to hear it again.
Too
many children listen to this.
What do you think it's segment?
About? Look, I take a fairly strong stand in explaining songs. I tend not to explain the song.
Okay.
And I tend to
Let them stand for themselves.
Yeah, let them stand for themselves. I mean, it'll mean different things to different people. I didn't write this tune. Chris wrote this tune, and I can think of what it might mean, but then that might be something completely different to what somebody else may feel about it. But it's I think it is It's a fantastic song. It's just got such a fantastic chorus and a hook to it. Oh, and it's a beautifully crafted tune with some really out there, you know, in-your-face lyrics.
And I mean, I think it's sort of in a kind of country sort of genre of, you know, lost, you know, it's there's a certain sort of black humour there to it, and like in that sort of I forgot to remember to forget kind of vibe. And hopefully that comes through in the song, right?
I think it does, and as you say, Mel, I mean, it'll mean what it means to people. It'll have a resonance that...
Yeah, but what I hope that Chris and I do, and I do think we do this, our lyrics, people really need to listen because they are saying something and they're just wrapped in quite a lovely melody often. So I think that's something that we do quite well. And it's fairly evident on this album, I think, and on our other albums.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is certainly a sort of a... There is a pop sort of melody sort of in there, and there's also lots of other bits and pieces, musical influences.
Very good. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you for rambling away this half hour of Friday Drive with me. So the gig is on at Camelot Lounge on the 1st of August. Tickets available?
Yep, tickets are available.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
you left.
The Moment of Truth, the title track of the album that you will be featuring. I'm not going to play that title track because, as I said, it got a run earlier today. If you want to find out what we've been talking about, you better get the album or you better get along to the show. But we are going to hear another track from the album. What's this one about?
It's got Something About You. Yeah, what is it about?
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. Just have a listen and listen carefully.
Thank you. Melanie Oxley and Chris Abrahams, thanks very much for joining us on Friday Drive.
Thank you.
I haven't met you yet, but I kind of like your smile. I haven't met you yet, but I decided to stay.